And you are listening to Beyond the Matrix Radio with Patricia Corey, and I want to thank you all for listening, especially this week, because I have a very important guest today. I always have important guests, but I have a very important issue, and I cleared the slate so that I could bring my guest in and talk about something that is extremely important for us all, extremely important for my beloved Egypt, and has everything to do with the journey through the experience of evolution on this planet. I'm talking about what's going on, what's happening in Egypt, around the world, really, but Egypt is the clue right now. Egypt is the power chakra of this planet. Egypt is 33 million people standing up against tyranny, and we have to pay attention, and we have to care, and we have to not buy into what the mass media is telling us, because if we do, we'll believe stories that are not true, bow down to the fear, and turn away in ignorance. So I'm fortunate to have as a friend on Facebook a young woman named Dina Fakhri, who made a statement on Facebook that touched me very deeply about what's really going on in Egypt. And I cleared the slate to have her on today, and she agreed to come on and talk to us from a bird's eye view, from the people's point of view, what is really going on in Egypt, which is a revolution, a peaceful revolution, well, at least from the people's point of view. And we're here to talk with her today. Dina, thank you so much for connecting with us from Cairo.
Thank you for having me. It's a great privilege and honor to be talking with you and through you to everybody.
Well, thank you. And let's not lose our time thanking me, because I'm thanking you. So for starters, Dina, tell me all about who you are. You're a student, right, at the American University?
Well, I graduated from the American University almost 15 years ago, 16 years ago. I worked a bit like for 10 years in the corporate world in marketing and business development. And then 7 years ago, I switched my career, and now I work as an energy healer and a past life regressionist.
Fantastic. Tell us about what you are seeing there, because as you and I both agree, the Western media is hyping, of course, telling the story that they want to tell and that honors their agenda. So we've got you on today to talk about the truth, that from your eyes, what is really happening in Egypt. And so please feel free to just take off and talk to us about what you see.
Okay, what's really happening in Egypt is a second revolution, I would say, or a second sequel to the original revolution that happened a couple of years ago, specifically on the 25th of January, 2011. At that stage, originally in 2011, the people managed to oust the Mubarak regime, who was in place for almost 30 years. So that was a huge struggle and a big achievement, and everybody was so hopeful that Egypt will turn around during that time. But what happened was that during the revolution, the Muslim Brotherhoods, who were like a ostracized group, and they were really repressed during the Mubarak regime, and they were really working underground, and they were jailed and persecuted. They somehow managed to, like we say, they jumped over the revolution, or they took advantage of the revolution, and they somehow came out of their mouse holes, and so they managed to get into power. Their president, Morsi, who has been a president for Egypt for the last 1 year. However, it was a very disappointing year. Nothing that he promised he actually achieved. We have more economic problems now than we have ever had in years and years and years. Poverty, we have a shortage in like electricity, in fuel, We have issues with the touristic sector, of course, is suffering really because of the reputation of the Muslim Brotherhood and how repressive they are. On so many levels and sectors, Egypt has been affected. And also, the president was very much in favor of putting his Muslim Brotherhood key people in key positions in the country, like all of our ministers, all of our governors. They were selected not based on their skills or experience or professionalism, but based on them being part of that group. And unfortunately, they weren't capable of handling that big mission. Of handling such a big and important country as Egypt, and also handling it through a very critical time. So they really messed it up, basically. This is what happened. And a few months ago, a group of youth called Tamarud, which is in English called means rebel, these originally there were three young men who started to collect signatures from Egyptian citizens saying that we want to remove the president. And that has been kind of growing until they actually managed to collect 22 million signatures from Egyptians saying that they are dissatisfied with the existing regime and they want to remove the president.
And that's... Let me interject here. Three young men to have been the cause of the ousting of this despotic ruler?
Originally, yes. Yeah, they were the one who actually initiated that movement, that they collected the signatures and they have put some sort of like procedure into the general distrust and general feelings of unhappiness and unrest that people were feeling at the time. And they did something with it. And they were actually working towards making the 30th of June the day that we're all going to go out and in a very peaceful way express our demand that the president steps down. And this is exactly what happened because the president managed to alienate everybody in society, everybody on all levels, like the opposition, the civil society, of course, the minority in terms of religious minorities like Christians. He managed to alienate even the intellectuals and the art people and so the creative people. So everybody,
sure.
So everybody kind of at the end was like everybody wanted him out. Yeah, there was no one there except his bunch.
Yeah, I would like to interject here for people who feel disempowered and afraid, and you know my message, of course, is empowerment and fearlessness. I want you to hear what Dina is saying. Three young men started petitioning the Egyptian people, and how many people ended up signing that petition?
The people who signed the petition, 22 million, and the people who took to the streets, 33 million.
How did you get 33 million people? What is the population of Cairo?
Well, 33 million is across Egypt. The population of Egypt is 85 million. In Cairo alone, we're around 15, maybe 20 million.
Okay, so again, for the people that are listening, let's just remember, many times we use the expression, the sheeple are asleep. And I would like to suggest that out of 85 million people, 33 million people said no to tyranny and got out on the streets in peaceful protest against a despotic ruler. So if you feel disempowered about your own government and about the world, I just want, you know, I'm screaming about this. You know, I'm saying that Egypt is a model for the world. I said it before at the first revolutionary moment, and now I'm screaming it from the mountaintop here. Look at Egypt, and instead of looking at it in fear, as you've been told by the media that there's a military coup and Egypt is in uproar, look at what Dina is telling us. Look at the real pictures of Egypt. The media is saying a few thousand people were out. the pictures are saying 33 million people were out. That's almost half the country.
And many people who weren't able even or were afraid to go out during the first revolution, this time around, they went out. You saw like families going out, like old people and women and children from all ages, youth. Everybody were out. It was like, in a way, it was a festival. It was a revolution festival. And it was a very, there was an enormous amount of unity and understanding among people and cooperation. Like they were really going out, having the same objective, having the same goal, and they weren't going to go back home again except when they actually achieved that goal.
Where were you when this was happening, Dina?
Well, I was at home. Well, to be honest, I went out during the original revolution. That was very intense for me, and I really felt the energy drawing me towards the Tahrir Square, the Freedom Square, where it all originated. So I went there a few times. I'm a very peaceful person. I really try to avoid like aggression and violence as much as I can. So I went out 2 years ago when it originally erupted. This year I was guided to do some work behind the curtains, like you'd like to say. So I was mainly focusing on anchoring energies. There's a group of light workers here in Egypt, and we did lots of anchoring work, especially during the key days, like on the 30th of June, and also last Wednesday when the armed forces actually declared that they're taking over. So we did lots of work then, and we're continuing to do every day until the situation stabilizes.
That's wonderful, because we all know how important it is to work on those levels. So what is the situation today?
Today, actually, the youth are okay. So now Morsi is out, and we have an interim president who is the judicial constitutional court. He's a judge, basically, who will be handling the presidential duties just for a temporary period until the elections happen. They also decided to cancel the constitution that Morsi actually put in place, him and his group, and we go back to the 1971 constitution, working with that. He's going to gather a new group of ministers to form a new government from all walks of life and all backgrounds. Things are, and I think the president is being held under house arrest since last Wednesday. On the other hand, there are a couple of other key figures from the Muslim Brotherhood who are still kind of out there, and they're doing lots of propaganda against what's happening now, including their religious guide, who's called the Badia, who's now all over the satellite. He was, I think, on Gezira talking and somehow trying to rally his supporters to go out and do an anti-revolution, I would say. There were a few people going out towards the defense ministry, which was one of the locations where the revolution happened. But now the ex-president supporters are going there. But there were just a few hundred, nothing major. But also we have like a red alert in Sinai. There's like lots of things happening there. The army is really kind of on alert and making sure that nothing from that side, like the Bedouins, nothing happens, because they were also pro-president.
Well, there has been a lot of trouble in the Sinai region with the Bedouins. What has that been all about?
Well, the thing is, Sinai has been really neglected during the Mubarak time. And the Bedouins there, they always felt that they are somehow not included in Egypt. They were always... They don't have any privileges. They don't have any basic rights. They can't even own their lands. So they really feel like they've been kind of shut out from society. So there's lots of that resentment and anger, I guess, inside them. So they turned to things like trafficking, drug trafficking, arms trafficking deals, especially with the other side, with Palestine. So there's lots of things that needs to be kind of handled there in Sinai. So and we didn't have really much presence there. Now the army is starting to become more and more present in that region. But also it's, you know, it's like a desert and there's lots of mountains and stuff. So it's a really tough terrain to kind of manage and have a control over.
Okay, so at the moment, what is the situation? I read that some of the Muslim Brotherhood have also been arrested. Is this true?
They did actually arrest some. I think they had a few of their satellite channels closed, and the leaders or the managers of these channels were arrested. These channels for the last year have been propagating violence and discrimination against anybody who is not a Muslim or not a Muslim in the way that the Muslim Brotherhood wants you to be. So they've been really spitting out lots of negativity and they were encouraging their supporters to be really tough and aggressive with others. So I think the authorities, they felt that during this crucial time, it's better to decrease their influence and neutralize it.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, me too.
And really with 33 million people standing tall against all of this, I would assume that their influence will be neutralized rather quickly.
Yes, me too. I think they're just like, this is like their last pathetic attempts to really hold on to anything. Even the press conference that took place just before the armed forces announced their decision, they brought in everybody from all walks of life. Like we had the Muhammad al-Baradai, who originally actually started this whole revolution idea. And we also had Sikina Fouad, who is a writer and a journalist. We had a couple of people from these youth who did the Tamarud movement. We had the Pope, the Catholic Pope in Egypt, a representative. We had the Azhar, who is the Islamic also representative of Egypt. So all of these people, they were gathered with with Sisi, who is the defense minister, and they took these decisions before the armed forces announced it. So it wasn't like that the armed forces actually went out by themselves and they made this decision. They actually took the opinion of or the representatives of everybody in the society, and they even made an invitation to the Muslim Brotherhood to come and be part of this, but they declined.
This is very important information because, as you know and stated in your article on Facebook, the Western media is presenting the idea that there has been a military coup in Egypt and that it's extremely dangerous situation, explosive situation, and that basically the people are now under the rule of a military dictatorship.
No. The thing is, because this situation is so new, it's unlike any situation that happened in history before. I mean, people don't have a reference to what's happening now in Egypt. They can't compare it to anything that happened before. That's why maybe the closest thing for them to compare it to is a coup. Not because the armed forces, they actually intervened at that very critical time. It means that they are keeping power. Not at all. Yani ever since the defense minister announced that he that Morsi is out, what he did was that he involved everybody in society in that decision and in the next steps that will be taken until we have the elections. And also he stepped back, so he is not actually doing, I mean, he's not managing the country now, he's not handling anything. He gave everything to Adli Mansour, who is the interim president now, who is in a way a judge, I mean. So he is totally out of this picture. What the armed forces are doing now, they are still in the street, but they're just making sure that nothing erupts in terms of like the pro president supporters. They don't start like aggression and fighting with the peaceful protesters, because they already on the 30th of June they were gathered in a particular square in Madinat Nasr that is very close to the airport, and they were wearing these suits like helmets and like shields, and they were carrying these sticks, and they were doing these parades and exercising. So they were really fueling to go into a fight. So I think the armed forces, seeing this and knowing their background, and also they have this idea of like exploding themselves for the sake of their mission. So the armed forces, they decided to keep some forces in the street to make sure that nothing erupts in terms of fighting.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that the military are behind the peaceful revolution.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it is, because this time it is, like we're saying, it's like a people coup. It's not a military coup. It's a people coup, because it's like the people are the ones who initiated it. The people are the ones who've done it. The people who went out and they declared their demands. And then the army came back and they backed the people. So it wasn't the army at all. It was the people.
Well, I would think that any despotic rulership would be very afraid that the army would join the people. In fact, in many countries, which I'll be careful which countries I name, there is a training of the military to become anesthetized to shooting their own citizens. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So to hear that the military is behind the people is very important for the people of the world to hear, because people are becoming very afraid of their own military.
Well, I guess the situation in Egypt is a bit different than in other places. In Egypt, there is no, the army is a very integral part of the Egyptian society. In every family, you'll find there is like an uncle or a father or a son who were or are in the army. So it's not like the army is like a separate sector or a separate section from the rest of the society. No, it's very much part of the society. And their mentality is all about that we're here to protect the country and to protect the people. This is our mission. This is what we're here for. And even the year that they handled the country just after the 25 January 2011 revolution, they really weren't that happy doing it. They're not really into politics, and they always expressed their desire to get out of the politics as soon as possible and get back to what they're really supposed to be doing, which is keeping the land safe and the people safe.
But, of course, a devil's advocate will say, well, who runs the army? Who do they answer to?
Now?
Yes.
Who do they answer to? I guess they answer to God.
Alhamdulillah. That would make me very happy.
Well, you know, you we heard all of the rumors about how the defense minister was under lots of pressure from the states in order not to actually announce the coup. That was last Wednesday. So he was he was like really clear about what needs to be done. After talking with everybody, he made the decision very quickly, and it was very clear. And I think it came from his own conscience. I don't think it came from anything else.
Actually triggered this event? I mean, I remember days before this event, Morsi came out for intervention for a holy jihadist war against Syria, right?
Yeah.
Was that a trigger in creating this huge demonstration, or was it actually planned?
Well, his talk about Syria was just one event from a series of events that really pissed everybody off. It wasn't just that, really. He's that event was totally weird for us because we didn't understand where it's coming from. Before he was backing Syria. And then suddenly he goes out and announces this, like, we're against them and we're pulling everybody out from there. And for us, it didn't mean anything because we are having so many problems of our own. This is the last thing we really care about. There's so many problems in the country, the economy, the poor people, there's no fuel, agriculture, tourism, and we had this problem with Ethiopia. Now they're building this dam and it'll affect our water supply, and he wasn't able to handle that disaster as well. I mean, it was a series of events that really, it was just kind of like brewing and boiling and boiling and boiling. And it was like, I think he put the last nail in his own coffin a few days before the 30th of June, also in one of his speeches. And by that time, everybody were just like, they don't believe anything he says. The problem with the president was that every time he goes out and says something in his speech, the following day, he would go and do exactly the opposite. So nobody trusted him. His track record was so bleak, was so lousy, to the extent that people were really fed up with him and his whole group. Yeah,
it's important that people understand that the whole nation has stood up here. I mean, even if only 33 million were in the square, only still the whole nation seems to have been rising up against this leadership, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So for those who you mentioned El Baradé earlier in our conversation, for those of you who don't remember, El Baradé was involved with Hans Blix in trying to make the United Nations nuclear watch, and also trying to help the United Nations understand that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction. And now he's being proposed again to come in as the prime minister. Or as the president? What's the story?
For Baradei.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's proposed to come as a prime minister. It's not final yet. It's not approved yet. Because he was always, for the last couple of years, he was trying to keep out from any official positions. And he was only kind of trying to influence events from a distance. He does have a political party in place called the Dastur. However, it's not clear yet whether he'll accept to be the prime minister or not.
Well, but who is trying to put him in?
Mm.
I mean, is that going to be part of the election process?
Well, no, what we're talking about, this is the interim government that's going to run the affairs of the country until we actually have an elections. They haven't set a date for the elections yet. But in the meantime, they need someone to run the country. So now we have the interim president, and he's going to appoint the ministers who are going to handle the various sectors of the country. And this is for the interim only. So his name was proposed as a prime minister, but it's not confirmed yet whether he's going to accept the position or not.
And what do we think is going to happen to Mr. Morsi?
I have no idea. I think they proposed to him to leave the country, and there were like a few countries that they recommended that he goes to, like Turkey and Qatar. But he, I think he refused. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. For now, he's under house arrest, and but they haven't talked about anything yet. I heard some talk about people wanting to persecute him because they have discovered phone calls over the last few days where he was in touch with some outside, like foreign parties, like in Palestine, where they have a very strong connection with Hamas specifically. And he, in a way, I think he was asking for their help to intervene against our armies. So people were saying that this is treason. And I heard some talk about people wanting to put him on trial for that, for treason.
Wow. Well, that's not good for him, is it?
No.
And what is the mood now? Is it, you know, we saw the immense 33 million people in the squares and fireworks and celebration the days after. What is the general mood? Obviously, you're one person, and I'm asking you to speak for the whole country. But can you give us a sense of the mood of the people at this moment?
Well, there was a huge sense of relief last Wednesday after the decision was taken by the armed forces. And there were celebrations the whole night, fireworks, people were out dancing and singing and up to the following day. So yani, there was just like festival and celebration on Wednesday. But now there's like a bit of apprehension, not apprehension, but people are kind of cautious now because they're in a way expecting that the Muslim Brotherhoods would somehow retaliate. And there were lots of reports going out that some of them might be wearing armed forces uniforms to start to make trouble between the citizens and the army. There were like few clashes on not Wednesday but Tuesday between the pro-Morsi and the anti-Morsi, and there were like a few people got killed. Now today there were these pro-Morsi demonstrators, but there were only a few. But in a way, people are still kind of cautious. People are not going to work for this last whole week. I mean, we have the main activities working, like the banking, the transportation. But so lots of people are actually taking time off, and either they're in the streets or at home, just like following the situation.
That's very wise, and I also love the idea that people are cautious because it speaks to their awareness about the situation, and from the way you're describing it, it isn't fear, it's awareness.
Exactly. And we have lots of like reports from the police and from the army telling us like to watch out for this or to watch out for that. And also people are telling each other. So there's lots of cooperation and unity these days, which is really also nice to have again, because like the Muslim Brotherhoods, they managed to somehow divide everybody and make people only like like strangers, and this is not Egypt at all. Yani Egypt is a very unifying, and it's like an amalgamation of different social classes and religions and backgrounds, and everybody's like harmoniously dealing and living with everybody else. But then they somehow managed to shift that energy that last year. But people are going back to their original energy now, which is really nice to feel and see.
Oh my God, Egypt. I've been going to Egypt for 16 years every year, and I'm an ambassador for your country as far as sharing with people the magnificence of the Egyptian people. And to think that any one group could in any way destroy the beauty of this land is very upsetting. So to know that, all right, you're in a transitional period now, and you know it's ouch and bump for a little while, but by and large, there is no question that Egypt is not going to put up with this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, this last year, in a way, is a blessing. I keep telling people because it really showed people the nature of Muslim Brotherhood. The thing is, Egyptians are very kind, and because they've seen the Muslim Brotherhoods being persecuted for years and years and years, they always felt sympathy towards them. And they always felt like that they were wronged, and they were really persecuted unjustly. And they always portrayed the Muslim Brotherhoods as these martyrs in a way. And this is why lots of them, they actually elected the Morsi president, coming from that background. But now when they actually were in power and they handled the country for a year and they messed it up, now people can see them for who they really are. So I think this is a really big blessing that came out from this ordeal.
Indeed. In fact, the man who handles my groups, my sacred journeys, said, the Egypt is going through the huge experience of true democracy, and nothing will stop us now. And the and all of the people that try to are being exposed very quickly now, and the fear is disappearing. It's very exciting.
It is extremely exciting, and like to see these things happening so quickly. I mean, for me, this is also amazing.
For me too. I mean, look what Egypt has accomplished in a year.
In a week, less than a week.
This is also true. So what about the, we know that tourism is essential to the country. What is the mood toward the tourists now?
Well, actually, I heard the report just like after the Wednesday announcement, we have like 12 new groups going to Luxor and Aswan. So the mood is really, everybody's so happy, even foreigners, that he's out.
Well, sure, because, you know, that, you know, being a spiritual person, that when we go to these places, we need not to be hindered by any kind of religious oppression, shall we say.
Definitely.
So we also heard that Morsi's more extreme people in the Muslim Brotherhood were talking about destroying the temples. What's this mood now? Are they protected by the military?
Yes. I think these reports were really like individual reports. It wasn't coming from an official. It wasn't coming from the touristic minister or from the ministry itself. I think they were just like people in the People's Council who were suggesting something like that. So we heard lots of stories this last year, including destroying the temples, destroying the statues, because for them it's you're not supposed to be. Worshipping a statue. So, but nothing was official, and nothing actually happened. So that was.
Well,
fine.
I would imagine that if anything were to happen to any of the statues, the people would crush the Muslim Brotherhood in a minute.
Exactly, exactly, and exactly what happened, like when when Morsi appointed the Luxor governor from the Muslim Brotherhoods, all of Luxor actually went and revolted even before this revolution. And they went and closed his office, and they refused to get him inside the office. And even the foreigners were revolting in the streets, saying that how can you come bring this Muslim Brotherhood who actually killed tourists before, and now you're making him a governor of Luxor. So he didn't stay 2 days in office, that guy.
Yeah, I read about that as well. I was like, oh, I'm so glad he's gone too. But I think that the message that you are clearly bringing through is that there is no tolerance anymore in Egypt for anything that will inhibit the country from rebirthing, right?
Exactly, exactly. Because that was what it was supposed to happen 2 years ago. And somehow it was delayed in a way. It was a good delay because there were lots of good lessons that came out from these 2 years. And I think the Egyptians have evolved and have grown a lot in awareness and understanding. And also the roof of expectations now is even higher than it used to be 2 years ago. So it was all in all, with all the difficulties and the challenges, I think it was a necessary part of the Egyptians' development and evolution.
Well, I think what's very important that comes from talking, speaking with you and reading your message is that the world understand that the Egyptians don't need to be, we don't need to feel sorry for Egypt. We need to feel admiration for Egypt.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Yanni, what we need now is like support. And if you're not going to support us, don't interfere in our business. Basically, this is what the people are saying.
Excellent. That's good to hear, because we know there are plenty of interests just waiting to get their little paws on the country. But, you know, when you look at the pictures, like I said, the media said, the repeating things I'm hearing on social media, on regular media, because I study what they say, are, number one, thousands of people turned out for a protest that turned violent in Egypt. And the answer to that is, it was 33 million. Go back and do your math. And the other one is, they repeatedly say the democratically elected president. I mean, that's in every sentence. It's like, you know, they really want to people to believe that this wonderful democratic president has been ousted by a military coup, and the people, the few thousand of people that came out, were the cause of a bloody scenario. And the real scenario is, yes, he was elected, and that's true. That part's true. But we don't have to keep having it in every single sentence, driving home the idea that it's democracy failing, right? But the real information here is that 33 million people came out and stood up for freedom.
Yeah, exactly. And the analogy that Egyptians are using for this is that, yes, we did elect the president, and yes, it was a legitimate elections. However, we have a right to change our minds if the person is not fulfilling his promises. It's exactly like they're saying, if a man proposes to a woman and they go and they have this legitimate marriage certificate, and then they go and go home, and then she discovers that he has an impotency problem. So does she remain in the marriage for the rest of her life, living in misery because of this official marriage certificate? No, of course, she has the right to say no, sorry, goodbye. So it's exactly the same with rulers. Why can't we do it?
That is a beautiful analogy, Dina. It's very Egyptian. Oh, it's been so delightful talking to you. The time is almost up. We've got a little bit more time, but I first of all want to remind people that, of course, one way you can show support is going to Egypt and not listening to the fear-mongering and not bowing down to the intention of the world to suppress this country and get their fingers on this, hands into the affairs of Egypt. So whatever you can do, one way is certainly to get back, go to Egypt. And this is not a promotion for my trip, which I'll talk about at the end of the show. But for goodness sakes, you cannot live your life in fear. There's no place that's safe, including the United States. So when I hear people in the States saying, oh, God, it's so dangerous to go to Egypt, I'm like, it's dangerous to be in your backyard. You have to live your life, like live it with a joy and excitement and hope. And certainly one of the places where you're going to experience that is being in Egypt and seeing a people rise up again and again until it's right. Nobody's going to stop Egypt. And that is so exciting. That is what we're all praying and hoping for, that the world turns the corner. And I believe Egypt is the guiding light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you have any, if you could speak to the world, and unfortunately don't have the whole world listening, but to those who are, what is your message that you'd like to leave people with, Gina?
Well, I guess I'll reiterate what you have mentioned before, that what Egypt represents is really a model of humans awakening to their nature, awakening to their power, and letting go of all of these ties that has been holding them down from expressing who they really are as a person, as a community, as a nation. This is where humanity is moving into. And it is expressed now in all of these revolutions and all of these movements all over the world. It's happening.
But yes, it's
exciting. It's just such an exciting time to be alive and just actually seeing it with our own eyes. It's just such a miracle. So just don't hold back and just be yourself and just go after what you want. This is my message.
Yes, and I learned the expression, which I've already said once, which is a beautiful Egyptian expression, which fits right now, which is Alhamdulillah. Really fits there. And, you know, I just want you to know that you have so many people around the world who are with the Egyptian people, and we are celebrating your strength. And it's a glorious, glorious example for the rest of the world, which is following in your footsteps and or by your side, because it may not be the first country to begin revolution, but it certainly is happening around the planet. So to you, I say, Dina, thank you for bringing that insight and sharing your wisdom and experience and having the strength and courage that you have. It's an inspiration for all of us, and certainly to me.
Thank you, Patricia, for having me on your show. It's been an honor to get to know you, and hopefully we'll meet someday, and also to be able to somehow on the mouths or the tongues of Egyptians portray this message of peace to the world. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And you will meet me soon, because I will be there in November. So people, you know, I really would love you to come with me. I'm running a sacred tour in November from the 13th to the 26th of November, which will have all the more power, grace, dignity, and spirit on the wings of what's taking place in Egypt right now. So please, you can find out more about that by coming to my website at SyrianRevelations.net and find out more about the journey and watch and follow whatever I put out about Egypt, because I will be continuing to have contact with Dina and other friends in Egypt and sharing with you all the wonder that's coming out of there. Don't be afraid. Celebrate. You came here to experience human evolution, revolution, and liberation. And it's happening right before your eyes. And to the people that say the people will never wake up, too many people are asleep, take a good look. There are millions of people around this planet with eyes wide open. And I leave you with that thought. This is Patricia Corey. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box. And we have certainly done that today with Dina Fakhri, my sister in Egypt. I can't wait to be there and to embrace her personally. Thank you, Dina.
Thank you, Patricia.
I'll see you in Egypt soon. Thank you all. In, and I'll be back with you next weekend with another amazing guest and more thoughts for you to soar outside the box of convention and soar into the sky with eagles. Thank you. This is Patricia Corey signing out.
Nanu, nanu!